And we're going to read verse number 17 through verse number 27. And you follow along, please, in your Bibles, beginning with verse 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribe of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. Now notice this. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. I'm going to speak on this subject, the prayer I have for Faith Baptist Church of Plymouth County. The prayer I have for Faith Baptist Church of Plymouth County. I hope you'll listen to me. I'm going to be more talking, probably do more talking than preaching. And I hope you'll listen to me. I think this is important. Please pay attention. Please don't think about what's going on next week or what happened last week. You pay attention. I'll hopefully be able to keep your attention. Let's pray together. Father, bless the message, please. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that you'd have all hearts attentive to the Word of God. Not me, to the Word of God. Please, this is your business, and I pray that we treat it as such. Please keep distractions away. Help people to stay in their seat, not leave, but just to pay attention, please. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now follow me if you will, please. I have been in a number of churches where, and seen a number of churches where the churches take time out a period time, numbers of times to recognize people who have been in the church from its inception. There will never be a great work of God except there be some people that stay in a church. Let me say that again. There will never be a great work of God lest there be some people who stay in the church. You cannot have a great work of God with people coming, people going. It will not happen. I've noticed down the years, through the years, as I've paid respect to different churches and seen churches recognize people who have stayed. I remember being in a conference at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And right after Brother Hiles passed away, and they presented an award to all the people who were there when Brother Hiles came. And by the way, he was there 40 years and stayed 41 years later. The new pastor was paying respect to them. And I guess there was probably 100 people that they paid respects to or honored that night. 100. Now, you have to understand, when the pastor came there, there were well over 1,400, and he did such a good job in the first 2 years that it got down to 400. That's growth, isn't it? And but 100 of those people were still around 40 years later, and they were presented. They had them line up in the auditorium, and they gave them awards for just staying through it all. Dr. Jack Treiber, I don't know how many of you, now I'm saying names and many of you are young Christians, you may not know who I'm talking about. Dr. Jack Treiber, I believe, has been out in Santa Clara, California for over 30 years, I think 32 years. And he has a conference every September, and I've been to his conference, but he also is able to webcast the conference on the internet. And so during that September, I like to hear the preaching, and I turn on the internet and I watch the preaching, and just to get an extra influx of preaching. And this past year, they did the same thing. They just started having people come up who have stayed for 32 years, been there, and walked up on the platform, and the line kept going and going and going and going. And I imagine the same thing. They probably paid respect to at least 100 people that had stayed with their preacher through everything. Now you have to understand, there were probably only about 100, I think 120 people there when he went. But 100 people, I think, some of them may have been later, that maybe 25 years or so. What am I saying? I'm saying that when a church rises up and does something for God, there is a group of people that will stay through thick and thin. Now, I'm saying that as I'm leaving, and I understand that. Now, can I go back? 3 years, 10 months ago, my wife and I and my young daughter, who at that time was not married but was planning on getting married, we packed up our duds. That sounds like a Southern term. We packed up our duds and we took off from Tennessee, coming out to New England. And to be honest with you, I had never been to New England in my life, not in vacation. Now, my sister had been to Cape Cod. She told me of how beautiful it was. But I had never been to New England in my life, aside from the time when I came up here to candidate. And we came up here, we did not know what was going to happen. And we came up here, and I still remember on a cold, blistery day, there were about four or five men, I think, that got off work and helped us unload our Ryder truck, our Penske truck. We put everything in there, and we began for the adventure of our life, not knowing where it would take us. As I said last week, when I had people stand that were here when I came, 13 people stood, and that includes kids that rode the bus. Now I want to do something. If you were here when I came, not including children that ride the bus, just adults and their families were here when I came, can you stand, please? Just, I want you to do it again. Just stand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 13 people. And there are a few kids, I think, 1, 2, 3. Holden wasn't even here yet. Well, he was, but we didn't see him. So that's 16 people. Thank you. 16 people are here today that were here 3 years and 10 months ago. Now, there were 64 people present on my first Sunday. I have the record. 64 people. That includes people that rode the van, everything. 64. 16 divided into 64 is roughly 25%. 25% of people have stayed since I've come. Now, let me explain something to you. Whenever there is new hierarchy or new person coming, change will come. And there will be people who do not understand the direction a new pastor is leading the country, or a new president, or a new boss. I am a St. Louis Cardinal fan to the core, and the Cardinals are not in the playoffs. Do you know what happened 2 days? No amening there. Do you know what happened 2 days after the Cardinals, the last day of the season? They fired their general manager, who had been there for 13 years. 13 years, some of the greatest days, and they fired him and let him go because there was friction. He did not agree with the guy on top putting somebody else working alongside of him, and there was friction going on, and that caused him to be fired. Now, that's a shame. That's a tragedy. There's only one constant in life, and that constant is there is going to be change. People don't like change. Nobody likes change. But change is inevitable. And a new pastor will come, and that pastor will come. And I wonder 4 years down the road, who's going to be here? Now, remember, somebody's going to have to stay. I know we're living in an area where it's nice to get up and sell your house and move to somebody somewhere else and make a lot of money and things like that. But look, somebody's going to have to stay for a church to do something for God. There's got to be a group of people that say, I'll stay. Hey, when you don't agree with the new pastor, stay. Stay. If he's preaching the word of God and he's loving you and he's trying to do the best he can and he's a man of God and you recognize that, stay. Don't go. Well, we just doing things differently. Look, some of you were here when Brother Mitchell was here. You're here when Pastor Feenister is here. And now you're going to be when Pastor Briggs is here. He's interim. And then you're going to have another pastor, and you're going to see a lot of different things. I applaud 16 people who are still here from the regime before me. Each one of you and shake their head and say, thank you for standing behind me. I know I disappointed you. I know I did. I know there were times when you looked at your preacher and said, I don't agree with what he's doing. I know it. I heard it. By the way, don't ever think that what you say behind closed doors won't get out and get back to the preacher. Preacher is everywhere. I have little gremlins everywhere you go, and they just hear everything you say. Look, I heard it. I heard it. And don't think that the new pastor won't hear it. It has a way of getting back. And I applaud 16 of you that were here 3 years and 10 months, didn't know what was going to happen with this new preacher, and didn't know what was going to happen, and no things happened, and you didn't agree, you stayed. God bless each and every one of you. Somebody came in this morning, said, ooh, this place looks different. Yes, it does. Change came, didn't it? And I remember I waited as long as I could. First time I sat in here, I told my wife, I looked over her, I said, if God leaves us here, these things are getting out of here. You didn't know it, but I knew it. And lo and behold, about a year and a half, 2 years later, they left. And some of you didn't really trust your preacher. But somebody did, because we had the best yearly offering of anything. Over $10,000 came in for the revamping of this auditorium, new seating, everything. And somebody said, you know what? I may not agree with him, but I'm going to give anyway. He's the preacher. I'm following his leadership. Praise God for it. You've got to have some people that will just follow the preacher even though they don't agree with everything. You can't. Look, we don't agree on everything. I don't agree with my wife on everything. And she surely doesn't agree with me on everything. When you get two people, you're going to have a lot of differing opinions. And when you get 80 good night, they're flying everywhere, aren't they? Nobody agrees. But there's got to be, if a church is going to be something for God, there's got to be a group of people that God touches their hearts. First king ever, King Saul. He was a shy man. I think he heard the gossip. He heard all the people talk about the new king. And he finally, the Bible says he went away and he hid himself among the stuff. In other words, he kind of found a good hiding place. And he says, don't come looking for me. I think it's pretty good around here just being away from you all. But they found him. And they took him out. And then Samuel said, this is your king. This is who you wanted. You didn't want God as your king, but look who the Lord's given you. He's head and shoulders above everybody. What a specimen. Kind of like me when I came. Head and shoulders above everybody, except Blaine. Head and shoulders above everybody. Well, not much of a specimen, but you know what I mean. You get the idea. And here's Saul. And the Bible says in verse number 26, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God has touched. Here's my prayer. God, will you touch hearts at Faith Baptist Church of Plymouth County to go with the new man. Because when God touches hearts, people go with him. 16 people are here tonight, evident that I believe God touched their hearts. Some people, other people, God touched their hearts, and God led them otherwise. I understand that. But if God is going to touch hearts, people will go with the preacher. Hey, come here, Joe. Let me illustrate. You know what going with means? Going with, all right? Now, I'm going to start walking, okay? All right, you do what you want, okay? Okay, stop right here. Very good. Now, here's a hard question. Is he going? Is he going with?
No.
What's he doing?
Following.
He's following. Won't you go with? Okay. My prayer, God, touch hearts, that you'll get a group of people that will go with the next pastor. I'm not praying that they'll get a group of people to follow them. We got a lot of people that follow. Peter followed Jesus, but I'm going to remind you that he followed a great deal way off. Check your Bible. Peter didn't go with him. He went behind him. And what I'm praying is that God will touch hearts for people to go with him. Hey. That's pretty good. That's going with me. You see, thank you. Stay there. You see, God needs a group of people that'll go with the pastor no matter what. No matter what. Well, that's pretty hard to do, preacher. I know. Go with me on this. Hey, we're going to get new CD. You never know. The new guy coming in, he may say, I just don't like these seats. I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that we need pews in here. And he may rip all his off and say, we're putting pews in here. Go with them. Go with them. Go with them. Now look. When it says a band of men went with them, that means a men of strength. It takes a strong follower to go with somebody. Because two people, how can two people walk together lest they be agreed? But man, if you don't agree and you can walk with somebody, you are somebody, you are a man of character. You are a man that says, that's my preacher. I may not agree with him, but you know what? I'm going to go with him. And by the way, a man that goes with him, go with me. Did you hear him say anything? Help me. Did you hear him say anything? He just went with me, did he? He didn't complain. Now look, I took some pretty hard turns there. Are you ready? Go with me. You okay? I'm tired. That's why we're stopping. Now look, you may not like the road that he goes down and travels, but you go with him, and as you go with him, somebody that goes with him doesn't say anything. Because when you say something, it gets back and it discourages the man of God. Band of men means men of strength. I want you to know, even though, look at verse 26, let me show you this. And Saul also went home to Gibeon. There went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. There's always going to be some people who will criticize. Look, mark it down. New man comes. To God, give. Give them. Give him a group of men that you touch hearts. But even though that happens in the same breath, there's always going to be the converse on the other side. There's going to be a group of men, sons of Belial. People that criticize them. You mark it down. Whenever there's change, there will be criticism. Hey, there's people that criticize President Bush, and yet they had a president before that. Does anybody realize and remember what President Clinton did while in office? And yet we're not supposed to criticize, we're supposed to pray for them. But we're always prone to criticize because we think we know it all, don't we? Has anybody ever pastored? Well, I guess nobody really qualifies to criticize another pastor, do they? Because, see, nobody has walked in the shoes of a pastor before. Try doing it sometime. The greatest call on the face of the earth is not being called to be president of the United States. The greatest call on the face of the earth is a call to preach or a call to lead or a call to pastor. I've received the greatest call that I could ever receive from my God. And it amazes me sometimes to look up to God and think that he would call me, knowing my flesh and knowing what I'm like, to thank God. Are you sure you didn't mess up? And I come here tonight, today, to tell you, I am praying that God would touch hearts to go with the next pastor. Because when God touches hearts, things happen. Things happen. Dear God, please touch some hearts with people that they'll go with the pastor. Hey, I'm talking about on Saturday morning soul winning. Going with them. I'm talking about men's prayer meeting. Going with them. Amen. Go with them. Well, I know you have all kinds of excuses. Go with them, man of God. Support them. Be with them. Go with them. Come here, Joe. That's all right. That's the cheap kind. Don't go with them.
Pastor goes around. Right. Oh, there they are! Hey, come with me! Don't go with me. I need a new volunteer. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Hey! Hey, come here! What's going on? What happened?
I was listening to you.
What happened? What caused you? Didn't you hear me to come with me?
He said stay.
What happened? What caused you to stay over here?
Choice.
Choice. Choice. Why'd you stay?
He's not fit.
Improvise, Joel. Improvise.
What? Because you wanted it. Why? What was so important over there? A pillar. Great. Now, to be honest with you, that's some of the excuses we give. The pillar breaker. A lot. The pillar. Go with the man of God. With me. And when you go with him, there's no complaining. May not understand where he goes, but he's got one thing on his mind. God's touched his heart, and to a certain degree that he just knows that he's supposed to follow, not follow, go with the person in charge, the preacher, the pastor. I want to go with him. I don't want to be lagging behind him. I want to go with him. That's his sole desire. And as the turns come and as the paths lead this way and that way, if you don't understand it, he still goes with them and he does not complain. Thank you. Wouldn't it be wonderful that God would get a hold of a bunch of people and touch hearts and you get all the people of God going with the man of God in unity and excitement, and they may not understand, but they're going with them. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. Go with him. That means those that are with him, God has touched their hearts. Would you allow God to speak to your heart today? Would you make a decision to go with the new pastor? He may not preach like Keith Themister. You may get somebody that's not as long-winded as me. Oh, happy day. Those folks up north have no idea what's going to happen to them. Culture shock. And you may get somebody that's a little quiet, that talks like this, that doesn't raise his voice. The place will probably be flooded over with people too. Everybody is different. But go with them. Go with them. He may not have a chicken and gorilla campaign. In fact, I would say to him, don't do it unless you've been here about 4 years. He may have something more crazy, but go with him. Go with him. When new programs come and new ministries start, go with them. Go with them in prayer. Pray for him. Pray with him. Pray about converts. Pray about your own heart. Go with him. Soul winning. If there's one thing I've tried to do here that I think maybe I haven't done a good job at, I haven't gotten across to the people of God the very heartbeat of God in this matter of soul winning. Now let me be honest. I'm going to be honest all day long. Let me be honest.
In order to have a soul-winning ministry, there must be an emphasis on soul-winning. If you're going to get a soul-winning ministry here, the preacher will talk about soul-winning. Don't write him letters. By the way, nobody did. But don't write him letters saying all you ever do is preach on soul winning. Because if he's going to get you to understand the importance of it, he's going to have to preach on it. When I first came here for 31 weeks, on Wednesday nights, I taught on soul winning. I had people come here that said they never heard it before. That's why almost every message I'll mention soul winning, I won't preach on it, but I'll talk about me knocking doors. You know why? That's on purpose, so you understand that the Christian life is about telling others about Jesus Christ. It's not by accident. Nothing I do is by accident. I might not get a message here and say this is a soul winning message. I'm getting you to know that your preacher feels, knows. We talked about it in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is coming to seek that which is lost. I'm trying to get you to understand that the main thing will always be the main thing, and that is seeking the lost with the gospel of Christ. And if this church isn't about the main thing, this church is missing the point. Hey, for the Red Sox, but that's not the most important thing in life. For the New England Patriots, 4-0, wonderful, but that pales in comparison to the main thing. Heard about a story about a landowner, very rich man. He started going about his land and going from place to place looking at his tenant farmers and going and visit them, and he found one of these tenant farmers way in the way there, and he had sat down and he was getting out his lunch, and he started to put his lunch to his mouth, and here comes this landowner, his boss. And the tenant farmer said to him, he said, "Oh, excuse me, I was just about ready to thank God for my meal." The landowner said, "Well, buddy, if that's all I had to eat, I don't think I'd thank him for it." That kind of guy. Aren't the rich sometimes pretty snobbish? And he said to the landowner, he said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to pray." And he bowed his head and he thanked God for the food. And when he got done thanking God for the food, he said, "Oh, by the way," he said, "I had a dream last night." He said, "You did?" "I don't believe in dreams," he said. "Well," he said, "I had a dream last night." And he said, "It was a very strange dream." He said, this man, I don't know if it was an angel or not, he said, "This man came to me and he said that the richest man in all the valley will die tomorrow." At that, the landowner's eyes popped up. He said, "Well, I don't believe in dreams. That's a bunch of junk." And he walked away. As he was walking away, he said, "Well, I just want you to know I had peace in my soul about it, but it was as real as I'm standing here today." That landowner walked away. And as he was walking away and got on his horse and started riding out, going to his place of residence, he started thinking about what that man said. "The richest man in the valley will die tomorrow." All of a sudden he got concerned because he was the richest man in the valley. He called up his doctor and said, "Hey, doc, can you come out and see me?" This was in the days when doctors made house calls. The doctor got in his horse and went out to see him. He said, "Doc, I want you to know," he said, one of my employees, my farmer, he just told me he had a dream and the richest man in the valley was going to die tomorrow. He said, "Can you give me a quick physical?" The doctor kind of said, "Well, that's absurd." He said, "But I'll give you a physical." He said, and he gave him a quick physical, and he said, "There is nothing wrong with you. Not one thing is wrong with you. You are the fittest man I know for your age in this area of the country. You are as fit as can be. Not one thing's going to happen to you. You're going to be fine." said, "That's what I thought. Thank you. I just needed peace in my mind." And the doctor went off. He went to bed. He went to bed rather early that night. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at his door. The man got up out of bed. He went to the door and he opened the door. And the messenger had come. And he looked him in the eye, that landowner, and he said, "Sir, Hans died early this morning." Hans was that tenant farmer. That tenant farmer had a dream about the richest man in the valley dying the next day. And the richest man in the valley did die that day. You see, the richest person in this room is not the one with all the money. The richest person is the one with Jesus Christ. You are so rich. "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?" The purpose of this church is to go out to the doors and reach. Didn't Jesus say, "Go and preach the gospel to the poor"? The poor, my friend, are the ones that have not put their trust in Jesus Christ. I don't care what their bank account says, they are poor. And by the way, they're probably miserable because riches never made anybody happy. If that's true, I'd like for Britney Spears to just come through those doors up on this platform and give a testimony of how happy she is. Where's your kids, Britney? $700,000 a month is your salary? $9 million a year, you're grossing. How happy are you, Miss Spears? Not very. Because she's poor. You become rich when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's rich. And today you're looking at a very rich man. And a very happy man. Preacher, don't you ever have times when you kind of... Yeah, I do. I do, just like you do. But when I think about all that I have, it starts with Jesus Christ. And it goes down from there. I have Jesus, I have it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Everything. Everything. Go with your preacher, soul winning. And I'm praying that God will touch numbers of people. Go with your preacher. Encourage them. And will you please, can I ask you to do this? Will you please pray that God would touch hearts where I go? Would you please? Because if God doesn't touch hearts, I'll fail miserably. I will fail miserably. God has got to touch hearts. That's where people go. 16 people, thank you. God bless you. 25%, thank you. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for your notes. Thank you for your presence. Days when you didn't want to be here, but you came. Thank you for encouraging my wife. Thank you for staying when you didn't agree in the back of your mind, or maybe in the front of your mind, you thought, "That preacher's crazy. What in the world is he doing?" Thank you for going with me. Thank you. And for the most of you that aren't among that 16, I guess you would say that you're my people. And I'm saying to you, go with the next man. You be what these 16 people are today. 4 years from now, you be what they are today. God, touch hearts to go with the man of God. That's my prayer for you. Father, I pray that you bless the message. Bless these dear people, dear God. They're very precious in my heart. Dear God, I love them with all my heart. For some, this morning will be the last time they ever hear me preach. Some will come back tonight. Some will be here Wednesday night. But for some, this is it. I don't know if we'll meet again this side of heaven. I don't know. But through it all, dear God, I pray that you touch their hearts to go with the new pastor. For Brother Briggs, only you can touch their hearts. And dear God, if you're going to touch their hearts must be open. Their hearts must be open, sensitive, maybe wounded a little bit, but their hearts must be able to be touched. I pray that you remove the hardness and the callousness from their heart and allow themselves to be touched by the man from Galilee, by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. Please bless them. I pray for that one here today that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. If they died right now, they don't know for sure that they go to heaven. They know it. They know it. Inside of their heart of hearts, there's not a peace that passes all understanding. And they most assuredly do not have the peace to know 100% sure they're going to heaven. And I pray, dear God, even now that you'd open up their heart and bring conviction to their soul and help them to know their condition and where they are and where they stand before a holy God. And I pray that they'd see themselves on the precipice of life and realize that that cliff could fall at any time. And if it did, without Christ, they'd be falling into the flames of fire called hell. Help them today to make a decision for you, please. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we'll have the invitation.